to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Father, we want to thank you that to your presence here, Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are so precious, you are so such a breath of fresh air. We thank you for the life that you come and you bring and you impart into our lives. We thank you that we can have eternal life inside us. We worship you. I pray, God, just the words that I'm about to speak, Lord, that you would just come and take it up. Just consecrate my mouth and thoughts into you. I pray, God, that you would come and speak this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. From the onset, I just want to say it's my intention to share a short message. Okay. Those that do know me know that sometimes it starts with an intention. It doesn't always. I'm willing to do a short message. I'm not sure if I'm able to do a short message today. Okay, so I'm going to try. And last time I shared, I started sharing on war stories. And some of you might think it's a very suitable topic, bringing it into relationships, or not. But I'm going to continue with the theme of war stories. And the first, I did battle one, W-O-N, and I did battle two, like two to the end, for example, sanctification. Okay. Battle one, I refer to the battle that Jesus Christ won for us on the cross, salvation. We put our faith in Jesus Christ. Battle two, shared on sanctification, the process of salvation from there, and that it is a race to the end. And I intended to do battle three today, but seeing I'm sharing on a little bit of relationships today, I'm not actually going to talk about battle three, and I'm going to skip to battle four. I'll come back to battle three a different time. Okay, so today's sermon is entitled Battle Four, and I'll qualify what I'm saying about that in a And basically, what I just believe that is a massive battle in our lives for our worship. What is it that we worship? You can read with me there on the screen. It says that what we worship is normally our first point of adoration, our first point of affection that we ascribe to something. It doesn't mean that I'm not affectionate to my wife. It doesn't mean that I don't adore certain other things. That came to mind. Okay, it's not looked up in a dictionary. It's not word for word like that in the Bible. But just in essence, just to bring it down a little bit to something that we can very easily understand. And a lot of what I'm sharing today is out of the premise that those things are not necessarily bad. It's just that we need to get the order right of that our worship needs to go to God first. Okay? I'm not saying that we should worship anything else. Okay? You'll get the context of what I'm saying. Okay? It's that adoration is good. I can adore my wife. I can adore the VIP winning yesterday. Sorry, Lions. Steph is just giving me the stare. those kinds of things is not bad, okay? But the thing is that our first and foremost adoration, and I would even say affirmation, to whom we ascribe glory to, needs to be to God first and foremost. Because the moment that He comes second to that, then it becomes idolatry. Yeah. And then this, at the same time, battle for our worship is in essence also the battle for our first love. Do we love God first and foremost? Yeah, so let's dig into one or two scriptures. 1 John 5, verse 20 to 21. It says, we know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. It says in verse 21, dear children, keep yourselves from idols. They're halfway up. It says there, so that we may know Him. our greatest reward of being children of God is God Himself. Amen. The fact that we can have a living relationship with the Creator of everything that we know exists. I mean, that should be mind-blowing enough, just the fact that we can know Him. And, I mean, it's actually a little bit of a mind-boggling thought, but I'll leave it there to rest for a moment. Then he says there, He is the true God and eternal life. Eternal life, we are in Christ to say that you already have eternal life. A lot of people wait to die before they inherit eternal life. You actually inherit eternal life here on earth. Okay? Meaning that your eternal destination changes the moment that you commit your life to Christ. Okay? You get imparted with eternal life. Now, yes, we can get disqualified for that eternal life before we die in one way or another. Don't worry about that too much. That's not the purpose of today's sermon. But therefore, that's why Paul also writes that that he doesn't run like a man running aimlessly, he doesn't fight like a man beating the air. Pray also for me that me, after I've preached the gospel to others, with myself, I'm disqualified. And therefore, it's a place of where we enter into the discipline. Digressing slightly, but what is interesting for me there, this is the last two verses that of the letter that John wrote, the first letter, 1 John. And then he closes it off there. He says, "Dear children, keep yourselves from idols." And there's a lot of context in there in that scripture, but this last verse, just sort of for a moment, it doesn't flow from the rest of the from the conversation. And then he puts that out there. Now he's talking to believers, and I believe that God just wants to come this morning and just come and show us a couple of places in our hearts where we do not put Him first. Now, why do we want to put Him first? Because He deserves it. He deserves it. It's His place to be first. Because He was first. But He's also lost. Yeah. The thing is like, because He's worth it, He's worthy of it. But at the same time, not only is He worthy of it, it is also for our benefit that He is number one. And let's read Exodus chapter 20, verse 3-6. I'm reading out of the law, so don't get your stones ready to stone me. I know that's Old Testament, and I know it's from the law. I'll bring in the context now. Okay, you shall have no other gods before me. This is the first commandment that is listed there. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to worship to them, to worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. The context there is about idols. Do not make idols for yourself, and then do not worship idols there. And then he brings the context like, I am a jealous God. And there is typically a picture of between also, like, in that context, it's healthy to be a jealous husband. Okay? Husbands, it's good for you to be jealous about your wife. You want to protect her. You get an ungodly jealousy, and I believe you get a healthy, godly jealousy, because God Himself was also jealous for the nation of Israel. He's jealous now for His children. Okay, for the bride. That is typically why he is jealous, because he wants to shower his love on us. And idolatry, in a sense, is spiritual adultery. That is, adultery is to have sex outside of marriage, outside of the covenant of marriage. Therefore, if we worship idols, if I'm a child of God and I worship idols, then I'm committing spiritual adultery. By cheating on God, in a sense. Because then God is not number one. The Why do I bring in that those kinds of things? Is that marriage relationship. So everything about covenant. If you're dating somebody and you don't have the intention of entering into a covenant with that person, getting married, marriage is a covenant, then what are you doing in that relationship? And that's why I'm talking about covenant. That's why I'm talking about idols. And all right, stick with me here. Let me bring you a little bit of context where I'm coming from into today. Okay, so that you will be more able to stay with me. Okay. So since we came back from the pastor summit 2 weeks ago, I've had this word of my heart bringing to you today. And you can describe it to my personality or type, or you can just describe it to me as an individual. I normally leave things relatively late. Someone knows what I'm talking about. That's why she's laughing. And so I had all the intention to prepare very well in advance for the sermon. And there's like 100 and other one things that happened during the week, which just made that I didn't get to properly spend time just laying out the sermon. Okay, so, and Christine is marking assignments for her students. So that's why she's not here today. And she just said that she's going to have to mark Saturday, which is yesterday. So I just need to please take care of Elaine that day. Therefore, I need to prepare my sermon in advance so that I can have freedom on Saturday. Okay, so all of this in mind. So I'm thinking, okay, I still have a lot of time. So where's the Bitterbake? We went to play golf on Friday morning. Still lots of time. Fridays are my off days. Okay, it's not part of my work, right? And so we just played 9 holes. And so I have still a lot of time because I'm thinking, okay, well, even though I'm going to look after Elaine on Saturday, I arranged with Lorraine that Elaine can come and play with Noah on Saturday. And so when I went to pick up Elaine from school after golf, she had a fever. So now she's very sick. Make the sons look at her. If she's not better tomorrow, then she can't go there. And the Friday evening, so yesterday, Elaine is sick. We have the plumbers there. We had renovations and stuff. And then we had also the builders there who's putting a shade board under. Okay, so those are all my areas of responsibility in the house. Okay. In the garden. The guy doing the garden. So I've got all these people there. And so those are all my responsibilities. Number one, the garden. Number two, the drain. Number three, the shade board. And it's also my agreement with Christine that I will be looking after Elaine that day. And in the back of my mind, I have to preach today and I don't have anything on paper, concrete on paper. I have the word in my heart. And so last night, or yesterday afternoon, I went to the office. Christine had looked after Elaine for the afternoon. I went to the office and I prepared quite a bit. And then I decided to go back and then just sort of relay with Christine and I put Elaine in the bath and put her in bed. So as we prayed last night with Elaine, like, dear Lord, we just pray that with everything that we need to do, still, that you would just guide us in the way that we should go. And the lights go off. So I couldn't help but just laugh. Like, now what? It's like 7 o'clock at night. I thought I'd still have the whole evening just to sort this out. So anyway, lesson learned. Prepare longer in advance. Okay. So I just decided I had enough of this. And we went to bed. And at 2 o'clock I got up and worked in the sermon. Right. So if it's not structured to your liking, if you're a teacher, then I apologize that it's not going to be 100% laid out point for point as a teacher should present it. Okay, but in essence, I do believe that there is a very important message that God does want to impart this morning. Okay? And that is what I'm trying to express, is that the message that I believe God has just embedded into my heart this morning. He wants to come and hand that over to you. Okay, so if it's not packaged the way that you used to or that you would have liked it to be, I want to ask and pray that you would get that filters away and get to the essence of what God is trying to say to you. Okay. Amen. Okay. I'm going to talk about three chairs. Okay. I'm bringing up three chairs because I want to just spend some time talking about those three things. Is that as we, obviously, that which God spoke about in the Ten Commandments, there was a form of idols that were physical idols made out of stone or wood, etc. And people would worship and bow down to it. When we were in India earlier this year, the shrines and everything that is there, you physically see the idols, you see the gods that they worship and they bow down to and they sacrifice for, etc. Here in South Africa, or even more so America and in Europe, the idols that we tend to worship is not necessarily carved images of something and we bow down and worship. Okay, but it is typically anything that we find this in, above God. Anything that we find our security in, our identity in, or our value in, above God is something that can be an idol. Now, because God needs to determine these things of us. Because if you, it's not wrong to have Chubb as your security guys. It's in South Africa that I would say that is wiser as well. But you can also stand in faith not to have those things. Okay? So it depends on what God also lays in your heart. But first and foremost, our security lies in Him. Okay, yes, it talks about safety, but it also talks about our place of safety against anything that wants to come against us. I am secure. That's also what security means. Okay? I am secure in who I am. That leads us to identity. I am who God says I am. For those who did Legacy now recently, we would be able to testify just about that revelation that God's come forward, just about who we are. We are sons and daughters of given us a certain amount of authority. But a lot of us, a lot of times, we find our identity in either the job that we do, the car that we drive, the profits that we support. And I'm saying that tongue in cheek. Okay, but in South Africa, that's a reality. Like the rugby or soccer. Like, people find their identity in the promise that they sometimes support. There's a lot of reasons for that, but in essence, what it is about is that they're looking for some form of identity, something that they can be part of, etc. And then value. God is the one that determines our value. He gave His only begotten Son for us. There isn't anything more valuable than that, than God Himself, God the Father, giving up His only Son for us. And therefore, because He did that, that is, we are so much more valuable than we see ourselves. But a lot of the times we find our value in the things that we did, our achievements, etc. Interestingly enough, who of you have ever failed an exam? Who of you have failed two exams? I think Steph and I would keep our hands raised the longest. What is our reaction when we fail an exam? Eh? Who are you concerned about the most? I'm not talking about now, I'm talking about school and university. What is my parents going to say? Right? And that is, I guess it's healthy as well because they're the ones that are paying for our studies, etc. Keeping us accountable, etc., etc. So there is a form of legitimacy around that as well. But at the same time, if we fail a subject, our worth is not determined by whether we can pass or fail the test. So keep that in the back of your mind, because I'm going to delve a little bit into the potential hidden idols that we sometimes have in our hearts. Okay? And keep these three chairs in the back of your mind about, am I sometimes looking to something else to define these things for me above God? Okay? So, yes, I am a chartered accountant, but before I'm a chartered accountant, I am the son of the living God. Yes, I am a... Okay? But that goes for anything that I do. So, first and foremost, we're a son and a daughter of God. Okay, so here, I want to talk about like these hidden idol indicators. And I'm going to talk through every one of those very quickly. I actually want us to spend some good quality time in worship again before we leave. Okay? That's why I'm going to try and keep this short, because the bulk of this message, I'm just coming to highlight certain things, and that and what needs to happen is that we need to then just wrestle with God with these things. Okay? Is that we anything that you, us, we find our comfort in or our pleasure in above that what God says or what God wants for you is a potential idol. Okay. For example, I bring this very much home to us here, and I'm preaching to the people that are here. Scripture says, do not neglect the fellowship of the saints, right? Okay. If you do not come to church it's raining outside, not based on conviction in your heart that God actually wants to deal with me in my own time, then you're succumbing to a place of comfort, pleasure. I'd rather be doing this than actually go there. Okay? I'm not preaching condemnation. I want to actually just say that if you believe in your heart, the church, that this body, or wherever you need to be, that is from God, then Scripture clearly says, do not neglect. That does not mean that you need to be there every single Sunday of the year necessarily. Okay? But what I'm saying is that too often we come into a habit of that we succumb to our own comforts and pleasures than actually doing what God wants us to do. There's only one example. Another example is to, if you feel a prompting in your heart to go across the room and actually talk to somebody about God, just pray with them, pray for them, and we decide not to go, then we typically fall back into our own comfort. Sometimes. Approval. This is the one that hit me at the conference. Okay? A lot of this, what I'm sharing, Tief Berger shared at the conference. Okay? So when you, if you were at the conference or you get the DVD one day and you hear these things, don't accuse me of copyright. I'm saying that I got some of this from him. Okay? This approval thing is something that got me. Is that I want to say that whenever the chips are down, what are the things that you typically do? What I mean by the chips are down is when all of hell breaks loose in your life against you, or car breaks, the drain flows in a different direction, the lights go out. Yes, true story. If everything that can go wrong goes wrong, what is it that you do? Where do you go for your comfort, your approval, your for significance? This is the thing that got me. Typically, when Justine and I have an argument, etc., typically I feel so down and out that I do not want. You almost get this feeling of I actually don't. I just don't want to get up. I just don't want to fight him, etc. And God just at the conference came and showed me that I've made my wife an idol because I'm looking to her for approval and not to him first and foremost. And that just struck me. Okay, and that's sort of the crux of what I'm bringing today is that, and that's why I feel that this message today is relevant to. Relationships. Because we look to relationships a lot of the times for our approval, for our identity, for our value. And we should first and foremost find our identity in God. I want to say to those who are not married yet, I want to explicitly say that whoever you're going to meet one day cannot save you from your loneliness. Everybody that's married here will be able to testify to that. Okay, it is only God that can do that. Okay, yes, you'll have a companion for the rest of your life, but you can't have a companion for the rest of your life and still be lonely. Okay, so God is the one that needs to satisfy us in that life. So that He is the one, He is our first love. Okay. So I want to encourage everybody that's not married, do not get discouraged. Okay? Keep heart, keep standing in faith for your spouse. Okay? And this is sort of maybe just an aside. I thought about this. I don't know. So, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Okay? Have you realized that it doesn't say there that she who finds a husband finds a good thing? Okay. But I have an answer for that. Okay. I have a counter argument for that. And that is, I believe it is because the wife shouldn't be the one that's going to look for the husband. That's not because the husband is not good. Okay. Okay. All right. Then control. Now, this isn't something typically that related to me, but this is also something that Tiff talked about, is that, we struggle so many times to surrender control. And I'm not talking about to people, I'm talking about to God. Is that we so many times try to take the reins of our own life and try to ride this course. Where God says that He wants to be the one steering. And we struggle a lot of times, especially when we go over a little bit of a bumpy road. We're like, is God actually on the ship? Is He in this car, etc.? And in all of our circumstances, whether it's good or whether it's bad, I believe that God is always inviting us to come closer to God. And I believe that some of us goes through a lot of heartache, through a lot of pain, because those are the only times we see God. We can grow to a place of where God is first and foremost everything in our lives, in the happy times as well. Then I believe that that's just my own personal opinion. That's why then I believe that some of the heartaches that we go through unnecessarily actually become less. Yes, we are going to have trials and tribulations and persecutions, and it's like that's going to become less. But what I do believe is that God's always inviting us. In power and significance. Some of us, and it's funny, like in that evergreen parenting course that we did, if you're a parent or young married and you're not standing in faith to become a parent, I encourage you to do this parenting course. It's really valuable. You actually learn so much about yourself. And you get these different personality types. And I want to almost say that some of us with the different personality types are a little bit more prone do certain things like this. I'm a Dina Boom. It's a pine tree. And typically, the characteristics of a pine tree is that very subdued, very quiet, doesn't look like anything can really phase me too much, which is true. Leave things too late. Those are typically, but also at the same time is that this approval thing is typically also something that I believe, I can't remember whether it's typical to a pine tree, but yeah. I'm ascribing it to my personality. All right, read with me, Matthew, the worship team can come up soon. Power and significance is just that last point there, is that typically the palm trees, that is people that are out there, that is outgoing, that is the life of the party. They like to be seen in the public sphere. They want to not necessarily just be seen, but they're people's people. And sometimes I believe that for people like that, the reward of being seen, or even significant contribution sometimes, becomes an idol above that which actually matters. Okay. So I want to say that all those things, like I said earlier, aren't bad things in itself. It is just the order of we need to find all of those things first and foremost in God. Yes, approval from other people is good, especially your boss when he gave you a task to do. That approval is good. Okay, but it doesn't define you. All those things, control. You need to have control. You need to have self-control as well. By the way, golf is a very good self-control, fruit of the spirit kind of game. Okay, just if you don't play golf, then I'd encourage you to play, because like Ludovic and I said, that it's interesting to see the character of a person coming out of the golf course. Because you know you can hit the ball 300 meters, but if you hit it in the road, what are the attributes that you carry? Okay, so read with me there, Matthew 6, verse 19 to 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Another thing of why we should put God first and not anything else, it's because anything else is inevitably going to disappoint you. Whether it's your child, whether it's your spouse, if you place an expectation on somebody else to fulfill a certain need of yours that God is supposed to fulfill, you are going to be disappointed one time or another. Okay, because your security and your identity needs to be secure in God, who He says you are. And therefore, you are free to be with your spouse, who God has made you to be. You're not necessarily looking to your spouse to fulfill a need of it. And therefore, we are already whole when we are with our spouses. And I just want to say that tomorrow evening is for the non-married people, but it's not closed for them. So those that are married are welcome to come. Same with Tuesday evening. It is going to be pitched to that audience, okay? To the married audience or to the non-married audience. It's not closed, okay? So you are welcome to come. And I believe that God wants to bring something practical. I'm not going to carry on this conversation on Tuesday evening, but I believe that God wants us as husbands and wives to come to a place of unity, not just for the sake of our own children. Yes, for our own children. But He actually wants us to lock into a purpose, to the purpose that God has actually put the two of you together. And that is something that talk about on Tuesday evening. So you're welcome to come. That's why I'm saying it's not closed for just for married people. Those that aren't married, I think it'll be very valuable in laying a good foundation for when you get married as well. And, okay, but what I want to say is that idols will disappoint you. You can have all the riches in this world, and you can be satisfied up to the point where you die and realize that you can take none of this, which is free.